Ladies and gentlemen, dear friends, my name is Ave Matteus, and I am an associate professor of Estonian literature from Tallinn University. I would like to congratulate you on the 200th anniversary of Latvian journalism. It is a great pleasure and honor to me for me to speak to you about the development of Estonian journalism during its formative period, because we also have reason to celebrate, namely more or less at the same time as Latviešu avises was published in Latvia, a newspaper was published in Estonia that largely established the traditions of Estonian journalism. The Maa Rahva Nädalaleht, Peasants Weekly, by Otto Wilhelm Masing, which was published from 1821 to 1823 and in 1825, was in terms of topics, form, linguistic and editorial style, a model for subsequent Estonian newspapers, which began to be published in the mid-19th century, and some of which are still being published today. In my speech, I would like to present to you the Estonian sister publication of your Latviešu avises and outline the early periods of the histories of Latvian and Estonian journalism, which have many similarities but also some differences. Here you can see the topics of my presentation. First of all, I will mention some similarities and differences in the early history of Latvian and Estonian journalism. Then I outline our first contact area, namely the translations of Peter Ernst Wilde's medical weekly Der Landarzt into Estonian and Latvian in the 1760s. Next, I will describe some differences in the development of the history of journalism in Estonia and Latvia at the turn of the 18th and 19th centuries. And finally, I will introduce the Maa Rahva Nädalaleht by Otto Wilhelm Masing, which was published in the 1820s. The similarities in the cultural histories of our peoples stem from our common Baltic heritage, Baltic German heritage, our long history of being part of the Russian Empire, and the similar stages of development of both societies. Compared to some other European countries, the histories of Latvian and Estonian journalism are rather short. There are a number of social reasons for this, one of them being the lack of a sufficiently educated and affluent readership caused by Estonian and Latvian peasants being oppressed by serfdom until the mid-19th century. Despite serfdom having been formally abolished already in the first quarter of the century. Serfdom, as we know, goes hand in hand with poverty, hunger, disease, and illiteracy. Equally important were the state censorship mechanisms of the time, which imposed several restrictions on freedom of expression and opinion. However, the differences in the history of journalism are linked to regional and cultural developments and to the specific authors who were active in the field of journalism. The first link between the histories of Latvian and Estonian journalism is the publication of a weekly folk medicine magazine in the 1760s in Põltsamaa, then Ober-Baalen, a small town in central Estonia. In 1766, Peter Ernst Wilde from Pomerania in present-day Poland settled in Põltsamaa. He had traveled across Courland and Livonia and had come to the Estonian-speaking areas of Livonia at the invitation of the local castle owner. In Põltsamaa, Wilde, an energetic and enterprising man, became the head of a newly founded hospital and a pharmacist, founded a private printing house, the first of its kind in the Russian Empire. Already in Jelgava, then Mitau, he had begun to publish the weekly German language folk medicine magazine, Der Landarzt. which, like other popular publications in the German-speaking cultural sphere at the time, promoted a healthy lifestyle and provided basic information on diseases and their treatment. Critical of the social conditions that surrounded him and noticing the poverty and misery of the local peasantry, Wilde wanted his knowledge of medicine, hygiene, and agriculture to reach to the rural population. Thus, his folk medicine magazine was translated into both Estonian and Latvian, which laid the foundations for specialized journals in both cultures. A total of 41 small format four-page issues of Wilde's Der Landarzt were published in Estonian between 1766 and 1767. The publication was titled Lühike Õpetus, Brief Instruction, and was translated by August Wilhelm Huppel, a pastor from Germany who had recently settled in Põltsamaa. A few years later, in 1768, the first 25 issues of Wildes der Landarzt were translated into Latvian by Pastor Jakob Lange under the title Latviešu Ārste. It has been speculated that the number of Latvian language editions was so small because the printing house in Põltsamaa, where both national language editions were printed, did not have a Latvian-speaking printer, and as a result, several typos slipped into the publication, which reduced interest in the magazine in Latvia. These earliest local language journals have been quite extensively researched and are highly regarded in the cultural history of both countries. At the turn of the 18th and 19th centuries, the paths of Latvian and Estonian language journalism diverged somewhat, although in both cultures, the enlightenment of the local peasantry continued. In Latvia, the quarterly magazine Latvijska Grada Gramata was published in 8 parts from 1797 to 1798. It was edited by Matthias Stobe, who is considered to be the founder of Latvian language journalism. The first Estonian language newspaper, Tartu Maarahva Nädalileht, Tartu Peasants Weekly, was published in Estonia from March to December 1806. The newspaper was published in the South Estonian, also named Tartu dialect, intended for the local peasantry, and was edited by 3 South Estonian pastors, Johann Philipp von Roth, Karl August von Roth, and Gustav August Oldekop. 41 issues, each 4 pages in octavo, were published before it was banned and confiscated by the censor. For a long time, it was thought that the newspaper had been completely destroyed, as we only knew about it from the local censor's reports. But in the middle 1990s, an Estonian historian managed to find 10 issues of the newspaper in the archives of St. Petersburg, which provide valuable information about this first Estonian language publication for peasants. A facsimile has now been published, and the newspaper has also been extensively researched. Tartu Maarahva Nädalaleht featured predominantly translated texts, stories from the Baltic German newspaper Dörpche Zeitung, printed in the same printing house of the University of Tartu. The mission of the newspaper, to enlighten and educate the peasantry, is emphasized by the first article of the first issue, as well as by the woodcut illustration on the cover page depicting a farmhouse and a church in the distance, with rays of the illuminating sun rising behind it. You can see this illustration on the slide. The newspaper fulfilled that mission. Two-thirds of the stories are reports of military activity in Europe because of Napoleon's military campaigns, and miscellaneous reports from abroad. for example, exceptional weather events, disasters, curious facts. While there are relatively few reports from the territories of the Russian Empire and from the home province. However, there were also pieces of fiction, practical farming advice, news of local trade, postal service, and fairs. Even though the war reports in the newspaper were rather general, short pieces of two or three sentences, and mostly free of any factual information, it was precisely because of them that the newspaper was banned at the end of the same year it was launched. Despite its short period of publication, Tartu Maara Fanedalileht played a very important role in broadening the horizons of the peasantry, raising their awareness of what was happening both in the world and at home. The newspaper is also one of the most important and voluminous examples of secular literature in the South Estonian dialect. Had the newspaper not been banned, this quite varied publication might have set a precedent in the Estonian press, as it was said to have been received well by the people, although it was probably not extensively circulated. However, history took a different turn, and instead, the founder of the traditions of Estonian language journalism became Maarahva Nädalaleht, Peasants Weekly, a one-man publication that was published in four volumes with a total of 1,668 pages, each number 8 pages in octavo. Due to the small number of subscribers at the time, the newspaper was published for a short period of time. But thanks to its diverse content, it was still a valued reading material among the peasantry decades later, as the issues of the newspaper were bound together by years, and these volumes were still read as popular books several generations later. This newspaper was published by Otto Wilhelm Masing. Masing, of Swedish-German descent on his mother's side and of Estonian descent of his father's side, who considered himself German, was the most important enlightener of the Estonian people in the first half of the 19th century and one of the most outstanding personalities in the older history of Estonian culture. He was a son of a sacrist who received his elementary education in German, first in Estonia, then in Germany, and studied theology in Germany at the University of Halle. His career was typical of the Baltic German literati of this time, first as a private tutor and from 1788 as a pastor in various congregations. He later became an influential church leader in Estonian-speaking Livonia. Masing's intellectual reach and creative legacy are outstanding. He wrote in both German and Estonian, both religious and secular texts. He became an important promoter of the Estonian written language at the beginning of the 19th century. He introduced the letter U into the Estonian alphabet, as well as a number of new words for natural or technical phenomena, and critically commented on the language use of his contemporaries in various publications. As an enlightener of the people, he was interested in the issues of public education and reading material in Estonian, which he took care of himself. Masing was the author of the first Estonian popular science publication, the four-volume Pühapäeva Vahelugemised, Sunday Readings, a number of secular and religious school books, Bible stories, and a newspaper, which I will discuss in more detail. Masing is also considered to be the founder of Estonian essay writing. Given the topic of this presentation, Masing's journalistic activities are of the most interest here, which began on January the 5th, 1821, when the first issue of the newspaper Maarahva Nädalaleht, Peasants Weekly, which he founded and edited, was published. Similarly to the first Estonian newspaper, the mission of Masing's newspaper was to enlighten the people, but its program was much more diverse than that of the South Estonian pastors. This newspaper has been called a colorful encyclopedia for peasantry and is considered the most outstanding achievement of Estonian secular literature in the first half of 19th century. The main cross-cutting theme of the newspaper is the fight against superstition, obscurantism, and ignorance. So, for example, you might read in the paper that a pisu hand, that is a treasure-bringing goblin, is actually a meteorite, or that there are no nixes in the world. The newspaper is consistently critical of witch doctors, fortune tellers, and traditional healers. On the other hand, the Moravian Brethren movement, which has a tendency towards religion, religious fanaticism, is also strongly condemned in his newspaper. Educating is the best way to fight against obscurantism and ignorance. So the issues of public education and schools became another main theme in the newspaper. In his newspaper, Masing advocates the establishment of rural schools, giving examples of places where such schools are operating. He argues against the provision of German language introduction for Estonian peasants, because the costs are too high and the children are still only semi-educated, no longer belonging to the peasantry, but not accepted by the Germans. This position can be understood in two ways. On the one hand, Masing defends the existing social order in which each class should remain in its own sphere. On the other hand, one can see here the demand for instruction in the native language and opposition to Germanization. A closer look at the other topics covered by the newspaper reveals that economic issues featured prominently. There are articles on the development of industry and trade. The newspaper gives advice on diversifying crops, such as growing hops, increasing flax production, or rearing merino sheep. For the first time, reports on the work of local manufacturers are published here in Estonian. The Maarahva Nädalaleht also offers an abundance of reading material to broaden the horizon and satisfy the emotional needs of the rural population. There are geographical and ethnographical descriptions of Livonia and more distant places in Russian Empire, for example, Kamchatka or the Kola Peninsula. Articles about natural phenomena, for example, lunar and solar eclipses, volcanoes and snow avalanches, and historical events. Scientific and technical achievements include spy classes, lightning rods, gas-powered hot air balloons and steamboats, paper making and printing, etc., etc. Practical advices covers both medicine and agriculture. The newspaper's literary columns, which are not numerous, deserve a special mention. These are adaptations of texts of international origin or original works by Masing himself. Among the latter is a long story published in several issues about a hardworking and kind-hearted peasant, Madi Rain, who helps orphans and is contrasted with a rude and heartless granary keeper. What is remarkable about this text, Madi Rain, is that Masing has added an illustration of the main character shaking hands with the landowner. You can see this illustration on the slide. This is one of the earliest illustrations in Estonian periodicals. During his student years in Halle, Masing also earned a living as a draftsman, and he also added a few illustrations to his other works. Masing's newspaper is important in Estonian cultural history because it marks the beginning of the tradition of literary criticism in Estonian press. The newspaper contains short book reviews and critical essays on Estonian publications, mainly calendars, whose use of language he heavily criticizes. The newspaper also reports local news, writing about some exciting unusual events. Masing's newspaper is considered to be outstanding in terms of language. He also discussed linguistic issues in the newspaper. For example, he wrote about the languages of the Finno-Ugric people, Estonian dialects, the need to introduce the letter Ø, and so on. New loan words are introduced into Estonian in connection with the topics covered in the newspaper. Masing's skill as a storyteller, his detailed descriptions of events, his phraseology in the local language, his aphorism, and his proverbs have been praised. Journalism historians have pointed out that Masing's newspaper was responsible for creating traditions not only in terms of topics and language, but also in terms of journalistic styles and genres. One genre that stands out from the others is report, in which he presents facts or events and comments on them. Secondly, he uses descriptions and overviews to introduce something that is unknown or little known. Masing mostly edited his newspaper alone. He had about 30 correspondents, not all of whom can be identified. But as he edited and proofread their text, harmonizing the style, the newspaper's language is consistent. Masing's correspondence reveals that he published some stories from Carl Friedrich Watson's Latviešu avises in his newspaper, but which ones exactly is difficult to say, as it would require comparing the two publications. On the other hand, he was flattered when the first Latvian newspaper wanted to print his newspaper's texts. Whether or not this actually materialized is better known to our Latvian colleagues. In conclusion, we can say that the paths of Estonian and Latvian journalism were quite similar in the early development, and even in the early 19th century, when they diverged somewhat, the goals of the journalists were similar, which can be characterized by the words educating the local peasantry, broadening their horizons, and promoting their cognitive abilities, creating a national public. I thank you very much for your attention and wish you a very fruitful conference. Bye-bye.